We need to start, and I'm sure you guys already have, but as a way of reminder, we need to really pay attention to what's being said by people and people around us and call them on it whenever we read something or hear something, say that ain't right. I mean, you don't want to pick a fight and cause big ruckus a lot of times, but there's times that we can say that ain't right. Now, I'm going to read something to you. I was doing research on Abraham. The Abraham story cannot be definitely related to a specific time, and it's widely agreed that the patriarchal age, along with the Exodus, the period of the Judges, is a late literary construction that does not relate to any time period in actual history. A common hypothesis among scholars is that it was composed in the early Persian period, late 16th century BCE, as a result of tensions between Jewish landowners who stayed in Judah during the Babylonian captivity and traced their right to the land through their father Abraham, and the returning exiles who based their counterclaim on Moses and the Exodus tradition. It sounds good. It is so wrong. Notice what they said. It cannot be definitely related to a specific time. And then it just goes on without giving any proof that it's widely agreed by who, among what particular group of people, that the patriarchal age, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and Judges, does not relate to any period in actual history. What they're saying is, this is all made up. It's a late construct. That's fancy literary construct. They made this up. They constructed this because the Jews that went away during the Persian time that was taken off to Babylon, and the ones that stayed had a conflict when the Persian types came back, and they said, this belongs to us because Moses, and the other people said, no, this land belongs to us because Father Abraham. This is all hooey. They have no reason, they have no information to base that on. It's just something that somebody made up. And then they say, most people agree on this. Most of the scholars agree on this. This is not true. This is something that was made up, constructed. They never said that there was a conflict between the Abraham group and the Moses group. And they picked up sides, and the ones with the Abraham group made up this stories, all the patriarchal period stories. And the rest of them made up the other stories, because it's coming out all the time more and more that the patriarchal stories are coming out to be just as true as the rest of the Bible, but they didn't want that to be so. I was watching internet, and you know, I take Biblical Archaeological Review, and this guy was just showing his office over in Jerusalem. You have the south side of the old city. And his office, I remember even the parking lot. But his office was there, and he said, they found this particular chunk of rock at the bottom of the hill, and this lady did some research, and she said, this is a particular time frame, and it was thrown off this hill during the Romans, during 70 AD. And she said, do you know where it came from? And he said, no. And she said, if you draw a line from where it's found, it rolled all the way down the hill from right underneath the building that you're sitting in right now. And we believe that if you will let us go under your building and dig, we will find the old city of David. And they did, and they've been finding the old city of David. And people, you know, I told you about the little bulla that they rolled in their clay with the names. They found another one that was related to the time of Jeremiah. And then everybody said, well, that can't be true. And then later, 30 feet away, they found a second one related to the same time period. And it was the other guy's name in the Jeremiah account. It was the other man that was used in the same sentence. And they were both like clerks and high mucky mucks. And they were evidently working an office job just within 30 feet of each other. And they found these bulla of both of these guys, and the guy keeps saying, the more we dig under this, I think they tore the building down, the more we dig though, the more we're proving that what happened is all there. And then he takes the guy on this long romp up through a tunnel underground from where he's at the old city, all the way underneath a highway and over to the Temple Mount. And there's this real, real old picture, and I remembered seeing it, of this rock that had fallen down and wedged in this tunnel. And it looks kind of like a diamond-shaped point. And it was Robert's. You can look it up because they've got an archway they named after him, just a part of it. And it says, here's a piece of rock that fell when they was constructing Herod's temple. And it has a picture of this old guy back in the 1800s sitting underneath this rock. Well, they never did know where this rock was. And this guy comes along and he stops and he goes, do you know what that is? And I'm looking at him going, I've seen that rock. And he goes, this is the picture that everybody's wondering where it was taken. And here's where it was taken at all these years ago. And whenever Roberts found it, took the picture, after he got done digging and showing all this stuff, the Arabs came in and covered everything up so nobody could find it again. And he said, but we found it. And he keeps going. And then he says, here is where when Herod, here's the lower part of a wall. He said, this was the Herod wall. Then he decided to make the road higher up. So he had him to clean off everything they was doing on the Temple Mount and shove all the dirt. And it just fell off and it landed down here and helped fill up. And then they finished filling it up. He elevated the road and then built the wall even higher than what he had originally planned. He said, so everything we're digging out is stuff they actually swept off the temple. And they had a little bitty, about the size of your finger, a little bitty golden bell. And when you rattle it, it just kind of goes, not ting, ting, ting. And he said, do you know what that is? This is a golden bell off of the high priest's robe. And I'm just like, I would love to see it, because that means that little bell, at some point in its life, odds are that it had been taken into the Holy of Holies at the time around Jesus' life, or in that time slot someplace. That little bell had been in the very Holy of Holies in Jerusalem itself. And the guy said it probably fell off of the high priest's garment, or he was walking along, it got tore off, but either way, it fell off and they swept it off, and now here it is, proving that everything they had said, and here the Arabs have been saying, no, none of that actually ever happened. But so don't listen to what even authorities say. A lot of times what they're saying, they just make it up and say it. They will look you in the face and lie to you, because they have a point they're wanting to get across and convince you of something so that you will do what they say or react the way they want you to, rather than truth. All that aside, I'd started off with Abraham, so I'm going to read to you Genesis chapter 25, verse 1 through 6 in the King James. Then again, Abraham's wife has passed away. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua, and Ishan begat Sheba, and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Asherim, and Lethshuim, and the Lehuim. When he says that was their sons, it means like tribes. And the sons of Midian, Ephon, and Epher, and Hancock is what it looks like, Hanok, and Abinah, and Eldah. All these were the children of Keturah. Now here's where it gets interesting. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but to the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived, eastward into the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 103 score and 15 years. And he gave up the ghost and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Now, the whole point that I'm going on is Abraham comes along. He has this son, which we all know is Chuckles, Isaac. And he has that other son, Ishmael, something like that. I don't know if I spelled it right. And then he has these other kids. He's got these other kids with Keturah. after the fact. Now, his concubine would have been Hagar, and then Keturah, his other wife. They call her concubine, but she's actually a wife, Keturah. These two kids, while he was yet living, he gave them gifts and sent them off. We know how he got rid of Ishmael. Gave him a bunch of water, a loaf of bread, said hit the bricks, actually hit the sand dunes, and Ishmael went away, and Ishmael ends up living in a place called Paran. But when he dies, you'll notice in verse 5 what it says, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. So everything that belonged to Abraham was inherited to the golden child here. Isaac got it all. Everybody else got some stuff, but Isaac got it all. And then you're just going to have to read on down if you want to verse 11. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt in, I will not say it right, but it should be something like Ber Lakerohi. Yeah. Can you do it better? She knows. Roy? Mine has long E's at the end of it in my pronunciation book. We need a Jewish person. Is anybody Jewish here?
No.
Wilma will do then.
Sorry.
Yeah, works for me. The interesting thing here is Abraham gave gifts to his kids. He gave all of his kids, other than Isaac, he gave all of his kids stuff. Here's some stuff. Now, move off, and he sends them off to the east, north, south, east. They would have been going toward the Jordan River, and you'll notice some of the names is Medan, Midian. And these are the folks that when Moses comes back, they start beating up on him. They've moved over with Moab and Ammon, the Ammonites, which is Lot's kids. So they moved across the river over around the Dead Sea area. And they end up becoming enemies of the Jewish nation, Israel, when they come back from Egypt. But those were all kith and kin to the Israelites. So they all end up in different places and they all get stuff. Ishmael ends up in a place called Paran or something like that. And I can look up to tell you where that's at. But anyway, it means glorified, and it's a two words put together to get the name. And it's headdress. He lived in a place called glorified headdress, which just everything has a meaning in the Bible. So it just means he was a show off. He was a glorified headdress, very flamboyant, very I'm here, pay attention to me, dramatic type personality. And it reflects in the name of the place where Isaac goes to. The name of the place is, and this is what this word means, the well of the living one that seeth me. The names are contrasted. So this guy is like a glorified headdress. Very showy. He's got stuff. It looks good. Glitz and glamour. But this guy has the well of the living one that seeth me. He is dwelling at the place of blessing of God. God is there. If you knew who was talking to you, he said to that woman, you would ask of me and I would give you waters, living waters. So we have this, the promised child gets this place of like the living waters place. The living one that seeth me. He's living there where God is going to bless him. So he's the chosen one. But everything that Abraham has, other than this stuff that he gave, all the stuff, everything else that he has goes straight to Isaac. Remember, Jacob, the son, he inherits everything from Esau. Esau picks up some stuff too. But when they meet, I've been puzzling for years over the whole Jacob gets in a fight with the angel and the angel touches him on the hip. And the best way I have come to understand it is he's always been able to depend upon himself to fight or flight. He can jump, he can run, he can hide, he can go away. All this kind of stuff was Jacob's method before. And God touches him on the hips and says, well, now you're crippled. You won't be able to run away from your brother Esau. You've got one hope, and that's to depend upon me. Now you can't run away. You can't, you're in this situation. And if you're going to survive it, it's you've got to depend upon me. So Jacob, whose name's now Israel, is put in a position of total dependence upon God. When he gets there, Esau says, "What's all this stuff you've been shipping my way?" He said, "You can have all that stuff." And he goes, "No, no, I've got a lot of stuff." He goes, "No, you can have all that stuff." He goes, "No, I've got plenty of stuff. I've got lots of stuff." And Israel, his reply to him was, "But I have it all." And that's what actually in the Hebrew comes through is, "I've got it all. You can have all this stuff. I've got it all." Because he finally come to a place where he is totally trusting in his God to take care of everything. So he's going, "I don't have to worry about having stuff. I've got it all. I am so set. God's going to take care of me, meet all my needs. I am blessed of God." So, back to Isaac. From Abraham, Abraham gives everything, that's an arrow, down to Isaac. So Isaac inherits, and I'd just like to read something to you, that an ability that Isaac got from his father, Abraham. Genesis 27:27 through 29. "And he came near and kissed him, and he smelt him of his raiment, and blessed him, and said..." Jacob comes up, and Isaac is sniffing around on him because he thinks it's Esau. "And he smelt his raiment, and blessed him, and said, 'See, the smell of my son is the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee the dew of the heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of corn and wine. Let the people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be every man that curseth thee, and blessed be every man that blesseth thee.'" And so that's how Jacob, soon to be Israel, a few years later Israel, that's how Jacob got the blessing. But the interesting thing is Abraham had, and he gave everything to Isaac. All the promises and everything that God had, he gave to Isaac. Isaac received the ability to put a blessing on somebody. And even though he had the wrong son in mind, because who wouldn't like Isaac? Who wouldn't like Esau? Because he's a man's man. He must look like Tom Selleck, because it says he was hairy. And he hunted, he fished, he did all the things that the manly men did back in the day. They had, you know, just whatever. He was there. He was the man's man. And Isaac liked this guy. And he said, "Oh, you smell like the fields." And he puts a blessing on him. Later he finds out that he blessed the wrong son. And it's like, "I can't do anything about it, because when I put that blessing on him, it went to him. He got blessed." And then Esau says, "Don't you have anything left for me?" And he does put a blessing on Esau also, but it's not the blessing, the good blessing that Jacob got. So everything that Abraham had, he gave to Isaac, and that included the ability to give a blessing. Jacob, Israel, comes along, and if we read in chapter 48 of Genesis 14 and 16, we have Jacob talking. "Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hand wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, 'God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life along the way, the angel which redeemed me from all the evil, and bless the lads and let my name be named on them.'" So he bestows, and if you read up before this, this is where Israel is putting these blessings on all his kids, and he's prophesying and blessing them and telling what's going to happen to them. So he moves it on down to his 12 tribes, and they inherit from Jacob. Now, it keeps going along. These people that's left of these tribes practice the art of blessing their kids. Just like Abe blessed Isaac, Isaac blessed Israel. He did bless Esau, just like Israel blessed his 12 kids. And he adopted those extra two, Ephraim and Manasseh. He blessed them. It was taught to go and bless on down, "And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you." So what's that to us? Well, if you get to us in Galatians, remember, it's the heirs that get all this stuff. Galatians. It's after Corinthians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7, and we're going to read 29 also. But Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And then dropping on down to verse 29, which is the real, really, really important one for tonight. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are the heirs of the promise. The promise that Abraham was given to Isaac. And we know that there was this special, special seed that was promised. A singular seed, and it's not a plural word there, it's a singular. And that seed is Jesus Christ. And then it says, we are, verse 29, we are, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. While these guys are physical heirs, we also are the heirs of Abraham, inheriting from Abraham. The ability of putting a blessing on, because he says you will be a blessing to the nations. So the ability to put blessings and to become a blessing was something Abraham had, and he passed it on to his kids. A lot of people hate the Jewish people, but at the same time, look at how many Nobel people come out of that particular grouping. Look at all of the writers, producers, scientists, just about every area, bankers. I mean, that riles a lot of people up, the bankers. All the major and all the minor, everything you go to, you find a strong influence of the Jewish people. But the Jewish people habitually on Friday night, because they don't worship on our days, on Friday night, the father was habitually calling his kids in that do the whole supper, and this is the women praying over the candles. The women would pray over the candles, and then they'd have this meal, and they'd do all this stuff, and at the end of it, the father would put his hands on his kids, and he would say blessings over those kids. He would tell them that they are blessed of God. Then if we wanted to, we could read where Paul did it. We can read where John did this kind of stuff. I'm going to shut up because I could keep going. But this gift of being a blessing and blessing other people comes straight from Abraham, right on down to Jesus Christ. We are His. Therefore, we are heirs also of, just like this guy's was, we're a child of promise. He was a promised child. He was a promised child. We are promised children also. We are the Gentiles that was promised. If you know, I've always said, well, you know, if the people aren't going to sing the praises, then let the rocks sing out. And the whole approach also is if the Jewish people, the Israelite people, aren't going to step up and follow the Messiah, then let the Gentiles step up and follow it. And God, remember, He said He is able to make sons of Abraham come forth from these rocks. Well, He made sons of Abraham come forth from the Gentile nations. Abraham believed, we believe, therefore we are like the children, we are the children of Abraham. And this is something I would like to read to you. Numbers 6, verse 24 through 27. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Some of the translation says, New American. It really bothers me that those people just threw out the entire first bunch of our books and said, eh, they're not even real. They just made this up so that they could make a land grab of the people that already were living in the nation. Numbers chapter 6, 24 and 27. Here, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke My name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. When these, the sons of Aaron and the priests and the Levites, when they say this, when they invoke My name on the sons of Israel, I then will bless them. So this gift of being able to be a blessing to other people and to invoke a blessing was given to Abraham, passed on down, comes to these 12 tribes, and they practiced it for years, and they still practice this kind of stuff. So they inherited it through the bloodline. We are children of His also, because we're children of the faith. We have the same gift given to us where we can do what they did, invoke a blessing on somebody else, and then, notice that I really like this rendering here, because it says, and they shall put My name upon the children, and I will then bless them. I will bless them. I will then bless them. And that's repeated. I really like that, because it puts it on the people to invoke a blessing on somebody else. And when that invocation is done, then God Himself will then do the blessing. All I'm trying to say is this. We have the right, we have the responsibility, and we have the authority and power to invoke a blessing upon other people. So when we come together on Wednesday night or any other time, and we say a prayer, we should expect God, after we pray that prayer, for God to be a blessing to those other people. Then I will bless them. We pray, then He will bless them. You say, well, no, they've got to believe it. Okay, you had the Syrophoenician woman. Her daughter was, what, demon-possessed? Or sick or something. I don't quite remember what happened. But she comes down. Jesus talks to her. And He says, okay, your daughter's taken care of. The mother goes home and the daughter's all right. The daughter was possessed. So you know a demon's not going to let the daughter trust. The daughter was far away. The daughter didn't know anything that was going on about all this stuff. So she wasn't in the position to trusting. It was the Syrophoenician woman invoked Jesus to be a blessing to the daughter who was incapable. And He said, okay, your daughter will be healed. You have the centurion in the same situation. He comes along and he says, you know, my servant's sick. And Jesus says, okay. And He heals that guy's servant. And it's the centurion that invoked Jesus. I like to sometimes say provoked Him to do this. And boom, that guy gets healed over there. That is what's going on, and that's our position. We can invoke our God, and we should, and we have the right to expect a blessing to come upon those people. The favor of God. Now, they can turn it down if they want to. A demon-possessed person can say, I'm sorry, I like my demon, and I would like to have it back. Boom, they get it back. I'm sorry, I like my sickness, and I would rather have my sickness than my health. Well, let them have it then. But we as a people are given from Abraham as an heir the ability and the right through Jesus Christ to invoke our God, and then He will bless them. A lot of times He doesn't bless people, probably because we're not invoking a blessing on them. What am I saying? Bless the loved ones in your life. Bless your children. Bless your grandchildren. Bless the unbelievers in your life. Bless them. Pray for them and invoke God over them, saying, God, and you don't have to do it, but you could do it the old Levitical way. God, bless these people. You can do it the Catholic way. God, bless these people. You can do it the Baptist way. Come on, God, do something for those people. Doesn't matter what you say, how you know, as long as you are invoking God and it's a sincere thing and you are really trusting God to do this, you're doing the invocation, then you can say, I have prayed, expect God to do something to intervene on that person's behalf. And if we don't really believe that's going to happen, it's not going to happen. We are the invokers. We have the right and the privilege. And a lot of times I just think we go through the motions, but we really don't grasp the power that we have, where if we would invoke, things would be different. I'll be quiet. Maybe. It's not the way to bed, is it, Dwayne? Does anybody have anything they'd like to say? Anything they'd like to share? Any prayer requests they'd like to make? Any invocations? Is there anybody who wants to be invoking God for something? Then let's go home.